Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue with our readings from the prayers of Prahlad, because these prayers of Prahlad are very rich. Prahlad is touching upon many points. He touches upon the point of that birth is not important, but that what is more important is devotional service. One can have all good qualities, but if one is not engaging in devotional service, then ultimately, what's the benefit of all these good qualities? And one can take his birth in a family of dog eaters, or a very low birth, and therefore having many bad habits, but devotional service can deliver us from these, from this lower nature. So we should always have full faith that devotional service has the power to change us. Sometimes the mind is looking for an excuse. The mind is looking for a way out, because the duty of the truth weighs very heavy. Just like in my case, when I first became confronted with Krishna consciousness, I realized that this was not just something casual. I had seen so many yogis and this and that, right? In the 60s and the 70s, yogis were all over the place, and I saw many. But I was never impressed, because I saw that most people were following these teachings just for status, for an external positions. And I always thought, yeah, but I am more serious than them about the truth and about spiritual life and wanting a spiritual goal. I'm more serious. But when I met the devotees, they were more serious than me. They were a bit too serious, if you know what I mean. I go like, this is getting too serious, you know, like, phew. So I thought, well, then I read something of the philosophy, and I soon enough realized, you know, it's like, if you do this, you got to do it all the way, you know. And I thought to myself, well, I guess there are some people that do it and some people that don't, and I guess I'm not going to do it. I decided that it was too extreme. These devotees were too extreme. So initially, I didn't want to really take up Krishna consciousness. But still, I had Prabhupada's Gita, and I was reading the Gita. And as I was reading the Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains page after page how we have to basically engage in pure devotional service, and that otherwise we're missing the purpose of life, the meaning of life, and anybody who doesn't really do so is not really sincere. I could really, from reading Prabhupada's pages, page after page of the Gita, I could realize if I don't do this, I can never call myself sincere again. And I just couldn't live with myself as not being sincere. So then finally I joined the Hare Krishnas. That's why I joined a little later than some of the others of my generation, because I had that inner resistance. But it is a fact. Prahlad Maharaj is making the same point. There is no alternative to this. And the mind is playing tricks with us. And the mind is telling us, yes, this Krishna consciousness is the truth, and yes, one should follow it, but what if I cannot follow it? I mean, I want to follow it, I believe that it is the truth, but I have found out that I tried and I just can't do it. Then what? This looks reasonable. Looks like it can happen, and then looks like the truth. But that's not a fact. Actually, that is a declaration of no faith in Krishna consciousness, then we have no faith in the power of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness can change us. It can change anybody. So it's just a matter of taking shelter. This soap is so powerful, it can wash any dirt. We have no faith in the soap. This washing powder is so powerful. In this way, this process can change us. And Prahlad is making that point. So we can always be free from material conditioning. And therefore, anyone can be successful in spiritual life. Now we continue. Maya manasya jati karma mayam baliyaha kalina churita gunanu matina pumsa chando mayam yat ajayar pita sudasaram sansara chakam ajakoti taritvadanya. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by extending your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karmakanda, fruitive activities, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? So first, Prahlad is seeing the world through the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, namely, is describing to us how everything in this world is connected to Krishna. It describes the process of creation, and we see that from the pore holes of Mahavishnu all the universes come. Then the Lord expands himself, goes in the universes, then from his navel comes lotus flower, Lord Brahma finds in the whirl of the lotus flower all the ingredients for the creation, and he starts putting things in places and like that. So the energy is all coming from the Lord, the elements are all coming from the Lord. Then the Lord expands himself in so many ways. He becomes the Chaturvyuha. Vasudev, Sankarsan, Padyumna, Aniruddha. And as the Chaturvyuha, he is controlling different functions, the functions of intelligence, the functions of the mind. So the point is, the more we read Bhagavatam, the more we see how at every point we're always connected with Krishna. It's not only that Krishna is the origin of everything and then he left us alone. You know, he's the origin of all the material energy, and that was the creation, and then it was done. No, he's with it now. He's with it right now. He's still controlling the mind in the form of his expansion, of Pradyumna. And then in the form of Aniruddha, he's controlling the intelligence. So in this way, the Lord is controlling every aspect of our existence here. Wherever you go, you actually encounter Krishna. And Bhagavatam makes us aware of that. Therefore, remembering Krishna, I mean, when we start to see with philosophical eyes, we see Krishna everywhere, all the time. Behind everything. He's the cause of everything. Nimitta Matram, the original cause. So in this way, Prahlad is seeing. He's seeing how everything is just controlled by Krishna, and everything comes from him. And once we see, yes, then we can see that we start to see behind things. Even the Gayatri Mantra, the famous Gayatri Mantra that is played from many loudspeakers of many Indian temples, is the Om Bhur Bhuva, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha mantra, and it carries on further. That Gayatri mantra is also chanted three times a day, and actually that mantra is making sambandha or connection with Krishna, because it reminds us how everything is connected with Krishna. So when we forget, we wake up in the morning and totally tamagun has covered our consciousness, then we chant the Gayatri Mantra. Ah yes, everything connected with Krishna. Then we get busy throughout the day. So busy, so many things to do. And then at noon again, ah yes, Gayatri. And in that way, again we remember Krishna. And at night, when it is getting dark, again, a clear signal, you know, like you can't miss it, right? It's like when it turns night, it's quite clear, oh, the sandhya. So in this way, the sandhya, the change of the day and night helps us. So now is again the time to reconnect with Krishna. And in this way, we are time and time again remembering how everything is connected with Krishna. And Prahlad sees in that way. Then we'll carry on. Satam hinija vijitatma guna swadana kalo vasikrita visija visarga shakti chage vrishistam ajayeshwara sudasare nispidjamanam upakarsa vibho prapanam. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you've created this material world of 16 constituents, but you're transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you're never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation, my Lord. O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. So Prahlad is describing the material elements, and sometimes 24, sometimes 16, he's describing the material elements and the senses that perceive these elements, the five material elements, the 10 senses, there is the working senses, there are the perceiving senses, that makes 10 altogether, the dasendriya, the five elements, and then the mind, and that's 16. And there we have the 16 basic ingredients of material existence. And he is describing how these six are the spokes. They are spokes on the wheel of time. A wheel has spokes, at least a bicycle. 16 spokes on the wheel of time. And then Prahlad is explaining how he is being crushed by the wheel of time. How the Supreme Lord is always transcendental because he has a spiritual body. And therefore Krishna, even at Kurukshetra, is still, although he's 125 years old, he's still fresh and young. It's not,
I do not wait, not so fast. I gotta get on the chariot. Yes, at 125, it's not easy.
But Krishna is totally fresh and young and spring chicken, and you know, and just drive racing around with that chariot as if it's nothing at 125. So he's kind of fit for his age. I gotta say that. Transcendental, not affected by the wheel of time. But Prahlad, although he's a kid, he's 5 years old, you know, and he's saying, I'm crushed by the wheel of time. I mean, he's not even grown up yet, and he's already crushed by the wheel of time. But Prahlad is right. I learned it myself when I was 5 years old, because my grandfather had died. Now, this particular grandfather, to be really honest, I didn't have such a relationship with him. So when he died, I didn't feel anything. Yeah, I wasn't shocked at all about his death. But my father took me to the cemetery and to put some flowers on the grave or this or that. And we went to the cemetery and I was totally shocked. Not because of my grandfather, but because I was reading the tombstones, and as I was reading the tombstones, I read that there were children who had died who were younger than me. And I was five, and that shocked me. I was going, whoa. Whoa, they're born after me, and they're here. Then I felt, let's get out of here now. Let's get out of this graveyard right away, you know. I was ready to go. So I said to him, let's go. Okay, and we went. Yes. So it is a fact. The wheel of time is crushing us all, not only in terms with death, but just little by little. One loses all his power. One loses everything. It can come in so many ways. I thought it would all come from old age, that I would become gradually old. It didn't happen so much like that. With me, it all came through accidents. Boom! Accident number one. Well, the kneecap is not the same. Accident number two. I'm flying out of the car and boom, landed on the grass on the part where you sit. Ever since, sitting has not been like it used to be. And like this. And then one day I ate something in particular, and before I knew it, I swallowed one of my teeth. I just swallowed one of my teeth. That was one tooth less. What to do? Yeah. That's how it goes. And these are true stories. See, you couldn't make it up. But it happens like that. So it happens. So the wheel of time, little by little, breaks down the machine. And there you go. And it starts happening like that. Things start bulging where they never bulged. You know, like that. Yeah. Chins and noses slowly grow together. That one always works. Anyway, so, therefore, there is no protection. Prahlad describes this effect as crushing. The effect of time is crushing. Crushing means that it's very powerful. There's nothing you can do about it. It's crushing. And therefore, let me take, kindly take shelter under the protection of your lotus feet. So this is our requirement. Just when anybody sort of loses it spiritually a bit and thinks, I want to enjoy. Yeah, it's okay. Me too. I also want to enjoy. Of course I want to enjoy, you know. Da-na-na-na. Let's enjoy. But don't you see you're being crushed by time at the same time? Can't you see? In Bengal, they have, in case you forget, they have two drawings, two old illustrations. One is the man who fell in the pit and grabbed the branch on the wall of the pit just before hitting the bottom, and he's hanging on the branch. Down below is a big black snake. The mouth is open. He's hanging. He's somehow looking, can I climb back up? But there is a tiger looking over the edge of the pit. Ain't gonna work. But there's a branch of a tree hanging over the pit, and there's a beehive inside, and some drops of honey just come down and fall on his face and run down his cheek and touch his lips. Hey, that's sweet. And he's catching the sweet honey and forgets all about the black snake and the tiger. The snake of death and the tiger of material existence. And he's hanging in between. So that's one picture in case we forget. The other one is about a frog. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in Mayapur in the rainy season, but if you have, you'll see that as soon as it rains, all the frogs come out. And they just sit there, wah, 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 inviting death in the form of a snake. And the snakes come up from behind and then just, You know, snakes, they don't chew their food, as you know. They swallow it whole. So they begin to swallow the frog. And this particular frog was swallowed, was more than half swallowed by the snake. Only its head was still sticking out. And then a little fly came by, and that snake threw out its tongue to catch the fly. So this is time, the snake of time. We are being swallowed by time and still catching flies. You see? Still trying to enjoy some insignificant sense gratification in this world. Meanwhile, time is swallowing us up. So that's the point, you know. I just celebrated my 62nd birthday. I don't know how it happened, but I'm getting half money on the train these days, and there are days that you can travel for free, and I'm liable. I can travel, have my free days in public transport. It's not bad. It's good, you know. Yeah. But it's kind of scary at the same time, you know. How did it happen? I don't know. I sort of, you know, the way it went, I was young. And I was, you know, I was, and then I partied and I had a great time and I went totally wild and used all my energy and I got a little tired. I took a nap. And I woke up and I was old. And the whole part in between, I don't even remember that I wasn't in between. I was never middle-aged. Never. I can't remember when I was middle-aged. I wasn't. I was always young. I was. Yesterday. But today, somewhere in the middle of yesterday, I turned old. I was finished. Finished from the Ratha Yatra in Durban, from the Kirtan Mela in Mauritius, and from the Amsterdam Queen's Day, and now in the Sringa Chaturdasi. I was finished. I was happy to go to bed while the party was still going on. Psht, I realized. I just got old. But how did it happen? I was young yesterday and old today. And it goes like that. Suddenly, you don't notice it. And suddenly it has happened. Just like that. They have this movie called Shangri-La. I don't know if you ever saw Shangri-La as a movie. It's an old story, but it's a story about a man who goes into the Himalayas and he finds this hidden Himalaya kingdom, very paradise type of situation. And in Shangri-La, nobody gets old. Everyone is young and beautiful. And he is in that place. And he is just there. And he is just enjoying. And everything is just amazing. He's saying, I'm going to stay here forever. But one day he starts, gradually he starts to think of all the people that he used to know and old friends. And then he starts thinking about, if only, you know, if I could tell them about this amazing place, that would be really nice. And gradually, it begins to eat at him, and he wants to go. And it gets so strong that he decides to go, and he goes. And then, at the end of the movie, he goes out of the valley, and then time hits him. And it's just, you see in the movie, how time is just like... And he just turns really old, like... Just like in 20 seconds. It's a very shocking, shocking movie. If you see that scene, you can surely find it on YouTube if you have nothing else to do. If you want to see it, how bad it really is. It is bad. Shocking movie. You gotta see it. YouTube. Just check it out. Straight after the lecture. Yes, like that. So, time is something we cannot. So it's about that we cannot just think it's not happening. It is happening, and taking shelter of Krishna, it's like when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Okay, I shaved off my long white hair, and you know, and thought, and now I give my life to Krishna. But it didn't quite work like that. Now, after all these years, I'm sort of still working on it. Working on it to give my life to Krishna. It's not so easy to give one's life to Krishna, even after all these years. And all I can say is, if it starts to depend on my surrender, then I don't know if I have enough time. Then I maybe need a double or a triple lifetime. Then Krishna may have to give me 200 years or 2,000 years or 200,000 years. I don't know, but I'm going slow. Therefore, I realize now that it's time for mercy. Let me collect mercy, lots of, because if it's on the strength of my service, I don't know if that's enough. So yes, we need mercy. So let us therefore collect as much mercy as we can now. And Prahlad continues to describe the temporary nature of material life. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert, or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? And for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. Now that would be easy to say for me. At old age, one can very easily present how the body is just a source of various diseases, and with an old man with an ugly face can with a sour face say there is no enjoyment in the material world. But when you're young and beautiful, you say, get out of my way, old man, get out of the way, old witch, you know. I mean, we're here to have a good time, right? That's it. But Prahlad Maharaj is very clear. And for this body, what is its value? It's merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well. But nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they're unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. So it is interesting because in the verse it refers to the philosophers, the scientists, and the politicians. So to the leaders, the people that we look up to. It's not talking about the common people. It's speaking about the leaders. It's speaking about the philosophers, the scientists, and the politicians. And said they are never getting to the right conclusion. Andiya tandir upaniyamana tipisatantam uradamni bada. The blind are leading the blind, and in that way, everyone remains bound up within the three modes of material nature. So Prahlad is first in his prayers warning us about material existence. Now I'm coming to the end here, so I'm jumping. Okay, I'm going to... Anyway, there's two prayers. I'll stretch the leg anyway. Ow! There's two prayers. One is a prayer where Prahlad is by Lord Nrisimhadev, he is offered liberation, and he is offered direct service to the Lord. And Prahlad says, no, how can I accept that? I can't accept that because I have Because everything I have attained it through the mercy of my spiritual master, Narada Muni. Therefore, I beg only one favor, the eternal service of my spiritual master. So this is very nice. The spiritual master is not, you know, not just an official representative of the parampara. The spiritual master is not just an ordinary person. We were in Vrindavan, and Brahmananda Prabhu was speaking, and he was telling different things about Srila Prabhupada, and he was just glorifying Prabhupada and glorifying him again and again. Then there was a devotee from South America whose English was not his first language, so maybe his English was not correct. You know, anyway, he was wanting to ask a question. So he said that I can see that for you, Prabhupada is God. And Brahmananda was looking like, oh no. I made that mistake in 1970 when I thought that Prabhupada was God. Oh no, he is not God. No, Prabhupada is not God. He is as good as God. He said, but these days, I think he is better than God because he came to the Lower East Side and saved me. And then he started crying. So it's like, what can we say? What can we say? All I can say is such love for the spiritual master is really what should be there, because the spiritual master is saving us. There should be gratitude and indebtedness. So, Brahmananda Prabhu has this unique, deep, deep attachment to Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, I always tell devotees, when you are in Vrindavan, just go see Brahmananda. He lives close to the temple. Just ask him. You can go. You can. And he's actually happy when devotees come. And he'll talk to them about Prabhupada. I always send devotees to Brahmana. Such love. Brahmananda said once he was Prabhupada's secretary, and he was. Then Brahmananda became ill, and Prabhupada said, like, ugh, you know, as if it was a dirty thing. How can he become ill, you know what I mean? Like, ugh. You always become ill. Probably goes like, ugh. Yeah, you always become ill. And then Prabhupada just rubbed his head with his hand and he was cured. He was better. He said, Prabhupada cured me. I don't know how. He just cured me like that. He said he did it one more time because later, Brahmananda was in New York, and his back was giving him problems, so much so that he couldn't get up. He's sitting on this chair, and he just couldn't move. So all the devotees had gone out from the temple, and he had stayed behind because he couldn't move. Sitting on the chair, and then the telephone rang, and he, you know, on the wall. And he said, well, I can't get up. I can't pick up this telephone. But it kept on ringing, and he felt like, I think I have to take this call. So somehow or other, all bent over, he took the call, and he was just standing almost with his nose on his toes while the call was going on. And then it was like someone ringing from L.A. It was Prabhupada's secretary. And the secretary said that, yes, who's speaking? I'm trying to find Brahmananda. I have to immediately speak to Brahmananda. And Brahmananda said, Brahmananda speaking. said, "Oh, Brahmananda, Brahmananda, Prabhupada wants you to come right now. He wants you to come right now and be his secretary again." And Brahmananda said, but I can't come. And then he realized that he wasn't standing bent over anymore. He realized he was standing straight. And he realized that his back was fine. And he said, "Okay, tell Prabhupada that I'm just now coming." So many. Just remembering Prabhupada. So indebted. So this is something we see in Prahlad, who is so grateful to Narada Muni. He has saved me, just like Brahmananda spoke. So that's one. And then the other thing is that the famous Sankirtan verse, Monam Charanti Vijanena Paratmanista Naitan Vihaya Vimumuksu Eko, where Prahlad Maharaj is saying that he doesn't want to go back to Godhead. He doesn't want to go back to Godhead alone. He says, "All these rascals are here in the material world, so let me do something to bring them back to Godhead." And in that way, Prahlad is very much a Sankirtan devotee, and that is another very important point in his prayers. So his prayers definitely show us the emptiness of material existence and sense enjoyment. It shows us the wheel of time and that time is limited. It shows us how much we depend on the mercy of the spiritual master, how we have attained everything through the Guru Parampara. And finally, it shows his mercy in wanting to deliver the conditioned souls. So that was something about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, I couldn't tell you everything in these days, but maybe you got a little bit inspired to read them yourself. It's nice. The prayers of Prahlad, 9th chapter, 7th canto. You may as well, after you've checked YouTube and finished with Krishna Kshetra Swami's seminar, then later today, read a few prayers of Prahlad. Since we are here, and now with Lord Nrisingadev, we can, in the spirit of following in the footsteps of Prahlad, that's the way to get really close to Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev is Vikna Vinasan, Sarva Vikna Vinasan. He can take away all our obstacles. And who has no obstacles? Who has no obstacles in the heart? So if we have a few obstacles, maybe, then it may be a good idea to pray to Lord Nrisingadev, especially through Prahlad. It may be a good idea. Now that we came all the way, we don't just come here to celebrate, we come here to pray. This deity is very powerful. There is only one of its kind in the world, and there's only one very large Nrisinga deity in all of Europe. And now here, we are here. So this is our chance to pray to Lord Nrisingadev, "Please remove all the obstacles from my heart. Sarva Vigna Vinasan Nrisingadev." So that is our meditation, our Chaturdasi meditation, that we go away from here with some strength and purification. Yeah, I'm going back in my cave and take it easy since I'm tired. But I'll come back out tonight for the Gaurarti. And the drummers have to be there also. You still here tonight? 6:30, huh? See you 6:30. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Prahlada Narsingha ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.